The Bible says that an unmarried Christian can be concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But what does this look like in real life? Join me for today's edition of Fruitful Single. Okay, so my guest today is Byron Banta. And Byron, how long were you married, and then how long have you been a widower?
Daniel, I was married for 5 days short of 29 years, and Shirley died just a little over 23 years ago.
What was the hardest part of adjusting from being a married man to being a widower?
Initially, Daniel, the hardest part was coming to grips with grief, how brutal and unrelenting it was. And, you know, the seminars all say, best case scenario, grieving takes about 18 months if you do everything right. But it took me a little longer than that because when I started to feel normal, to feel good again, I felt guilty about that. So I just hit the pause button on the grief and prolonged it longer than it really had to go. And as a follow-up on that, God seems to have given me a gift of singleness. If you had told me before my wife was diagnosed that I could be happy as a single man, I would have said, you know, that's not likely to happen. But something happened along the way.
How did your involvement in ministry change after becoming a widower?
I'll tell you what, Daniel, I almost bailed, almost quit initially in the depth of the grief in the early stages when it's really, you know, you're in a fog and so forth. I was talking to a couple of my deacons and I said, you know what, I was just 60 at the time. And I thought, well, you know, can an older man, 60-year-old man, in the throes of grief, be effective in pastoring a church? And I thought, I wonder if I just ought to resign and go find something else to do. These guys really reproved me and said, no, I don't think that's what you need to do. They said, you just stay with it. And they said, if you get up some Sunday and you can't go, just let us know and we'll cover the sermon for you. I praise God for those two men. I never came to the place to where I couldn't go. There were times in church when I was in tears, not weeping, but very tearful. But God gave me grace. At least 50 people told me that my preaching was richer and deeper and more meaningful, more helpful. You know, having walked through that grew me as a man. That is so much of God's grace.
What does your life look like now? What kind of ministry are you still involved in?
I, of course, stepped aside from the full-time pastorate. God made it clear to me that it was time for me to step aside and pursue a different form of ministry. But when I was a pastor, there was a retired minister named Gerald Sullivan, who's a member of my church, and he always had my back. He always was an encourager to me. He always said, Pastor, I'm praying for you. I could ask him for anything, and he would do it. He was a huge blessing to me, and I determined that when I retired and joined the church, I was going to be that way for my pastor. And that's what I've tried to do. I've done some interim pastorates. I've done some supply preaching. I had an administrative thing with the Arizona Southern Baptist Convention when our director resigned to go with the North Metro News Board, asked me to be the interim exec for a couple of years. But right now, I'm an elder in my church. There are three of us who are elders. Rob Gashler is the pastor. And so my role is to help him with leadership, to do the tasks that he assigns me to do. I'm doing some supply preaching. And my rule of thumb is that I need to be at Pinnacle Church more than I'm away. Being faithful to my church and supporting my pastor is really, really important. I think one of my spiritual gifts is encouragement. And I don't have to schedule that or practice it. It's just something that seems to come natural. In a church where I once served, there was a man, he's married, had a couple of kids. And we were visitation partners. And on either Tuesday or Thursday nights, I've forgotten which, we'd go knock on doors. And then after, we'd go to his house and just sit at his kitchen table and drink coffee and talk. And, you know, when my ministry took me a different place, he said, you know, I grew more in Christ. We were just sitting around talking and drinking coffee than I ever did from any of your sermons. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking you are just trying to justify drinking coffee with a friend. That's what you're thinking. I can read you like a book.
No. I was thinking actually that the informal times when we're sort of off camera is when we really have a bigger impact, because who we really are comes out and people can sense that. You know, they know the difference between, you know, that you're just cranking out a message because that's your job versus just away from the crowd, and it's just who you really are coming out, that your words do have a greater impact then.
You know, in all my 82 years, never thought of it like that, that when your guard is down, who you really are comes out.
How do you keep your personal devotional time with the Lord fresh?
I get up in the morning, pour a cup of coffee and sit in my chair and say, Father, I want to know you, your nature, your character, and your ways, and I will read the scripture. Then think about what I learned about God, and then just ease into my prayer time. And the template that I use is the Lord's Prayer. And I hate to say, the way to keep it fresh is to retire, to where you're not hurried and harried all the time.
Actually, there probably is some truth there. If we try to do too much, maybe that does make our prayer time actually less fruitful.
Yeah.
Is there a particular reading plan that you recommend?
Yes. If you go to bible-reading.com, there is a printable version of that. The thing that I discovered was that after about 3 years of reading it through that way, the story of the scripture just comes to the surface. You say, aha, I got it. And as I got to know God better, I got to understand my identity in Him.
If you were counseling another Christian widower who's trying to decide if he should remarry, what advice would you give him?
I would say, what's God's call on your life? If being married, if having a soulmate, someone to be with you, to pray with you, to be a helpmate to you, who would enhance your walk with God, go for it. I really, when I was younger, I desperately needed that. When I was a young man, Daniel, I don't think I could have been a pastor single. Is marriage going to help or hinder the call God has on your life? The fact is, the thing that I discovered was, once my grieving was done, Paul had it right. You know, when you're married, you rightly focus on your wife and her needs, and it is time-consuming and sometimes difficult. After my wife died and I was on my feet and operating again, if I needed to be away 7 nights a week, there was nobody I was disappointing at home. There was nobody that I was neglecting at home. Being single made some income disposable income now. If you can cope with singleness, being single frees you up for ministry in a remarkable way, emotionally, time-wise, because when you are married, you invest feelings and emotion and, at the risk of sounding new age, mental energy.
Yes.
Mental effort into maintaining a relationship that always needs maintenance. Marriages are high maintenance relationships. That's not a bad thing. That's just the way it is.
Did you ever take missions trips, and how did you decide that it would be you would be more service to the Lord staying in the U.S. than going to try to reach some unreached people group yourself?
I had really thought about pastoring English language churches overseas, but I never aggressively pursued that, but always maintained a heart for missions. And my first overseas mission trip was to Korea. And when my wife was alive, and I was pastoring up in Payson, we took a team to Korea. And then the year after Shirley died, I went to Brazil. My church did a mission trip to Thailand. I did a mission trip to Kenya. I was in Vietnam in 1968 during the Vietnam era. I was an Army chaplain.
Oh, wow.
But I wanted to go back to Vietnam. A friend of mine and I went to a closed country and worked with some people on a business platform. And while we were there, we had an opportunity to do some prayer walking and to surreptitiously distribute some Christian literature. So mission trips have been an important part of my ministry, a meaningful part. And I don't know if I'll do any more, but in the event I did renew my passport last year.
Good for you.
And I'm ready when the time comes. And it may not be too late for me to do a 6-month gig.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I would dearly love that. I would love it.
We had some neighbors who did missions trips to Hong Kong and Macau when they were in their late 80s. So yeah, you're right. It's not too late for you.
You know what, buddy? Thank you for that encouragement. Thank you for that encouragement. I would love to do that, and to do something for not just 10 days or 2 weeks, but to do something for 6 or 8 months, and my health is remarkably good for an older man.
Wow, and what's holding you back from taking a missions trip? If you'd like to send a message to Byron, send me an email, and I'd be happy to forward it on to him. My email address is daniel@fruitfulsingle.com. I would also love to hear from you if you're engaged in some work for Christ and you feel the need of other people to help you in what you're doing, if you have more work than you can do yourself. Or, on the other hand, if you are underutilized as a single person, you have energy, you just don't know where to channel it, I'd love to hear from you also. Maybe I can help connect you up. And again, my email address is daniel@fruitfulsingle.com. To listen to past episodes of the Fruitful Single podcast or to apply for the Fruitful Single Missions Travel Scholarship, visit fruitfulsingle.com. Until next time, may Jesus bless you with fruitfulness, and remember, don't waste your singleness because the Lamb's wedding is coming soon.